Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Will you please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 3? And today, with the help of the Lord, we'll seek to cover verses 1 to 19. And he, this is Yeshua, entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Shabbat day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on a Shabbat day, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth, and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus, Yeshua, withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Edom, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, they came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. For he had healed many, inasmuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God, Ata ben ha'Elohim. And he straitly charged them that they should not make him known. And he goeth up into a mountain, and he calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out demons. And Simon, his surname Peter, and James, this is Jacob, the son of Zebedee, and John, this is Yohanan, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matityahu, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas, or Yehuda, Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house. And I'll stop here in verse 19 for the ministry of the Word of God for today. Again, to remind us, as I do every Shabbat, every ministry, every Saturday together, that we remember that the Gospel of Mark represents Yeshua, Jesus our Messiah, as the servant of the Lord. In Hebrew, we call him Eved Adonai. He is the true servant of Jehovah. amazing to get attracted to him. He's so attracted because of the manner he lived, the words he spoke, the things he have done. It draw our hearts. Never a man spake like this man, they said many years ago. Never a man did what this man has done. He's a unique man. He's the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world, who was willing to come down to this earth in order to give himself a ransom for many. So you and I today, just like those of old, can receive forgiveness of sins if we only believe on him. If we only accept his work for us on the tree, on the cross, where he shed his blood and he died for us and he paid the penalty that each and every one of us have to pay. And he was the one who was willing to take it upon himself. But we haven't arrived yet to his death and resurrection, but we can see the progress in the Gospel of Mark, how he moves in this direction. He's just about, as time passes by, eventually he will be rejected and despised and ultimately placed upon a cruel and shameful cross, Roman cross, where he is going to die the just for the unjust. If you remember when we concluded chapter 2 of the Gospel of Mark, after they ask him the question, why are your disciples doing these unlawful things by going into the cornfields and eating from the corn and crushing them and eating them, Yeshua had to explain to the leaders of our own people Israel that they haven't done anything wrong. He didn't break the Shabbat. But not only that, that he is indeed the Lord of the Shabbat. Adon HaShabbat. In fact, what we really learned from that, when he said, I am the Lord of the Shabbat, Adon HaShabbat, what he was really saying, I'm the very God who gave the Shabbat day to Israel from this time, some 1,500 years ago in Mount Sinai. I was the one that gave the Shabbat to Moshe and to our nation Israel. He is the Lord of the Shabbat. And he reminded these Pharisees, who had a great beginning and meant very well to preserve our people Israel, but have gone astray, gone beyond what God had intended for Israel in the Shabbat. They have introduced so many additional rules and regulations in order to preserve our people Israel in maintaining the Shabbat. And he had to remind them in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, that the Shabbat was made for men and not men for the Shabbat. And I think this is a great lesson for us to learn. You know, the Shabbat, when it was given, was so beautiful. A day when Israel rested from all the work that they were doing. And that's the only really requirement for the Shabbat day, is to rest and to take this time with your family, with your brothers and sisters, with the nation, to reflect upon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to enjoy him on that particular day. And it was very serious, beloved brothers and sisters, because God was very serious when he gave Israel the Shabbat day. He commanded them, and I just want to read there in Exodus chapter 20, as he gave those 10 commandments, he said to Israel in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, he said, remember the Shabbat day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all work, but on the seventh day is a Shabbat of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidenservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For 6 days the Lord had made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord God blessed the Shabbat day to hallow it. So when God gave the Shabbat day to Israel, our nation of all, and by the way, the Shabbat, we don't ever read in Scripture that he ever gave it to any other nation. In fact, if you read chapter 31, it was a sign that was made between God and the nation of Israel. But you see what happened. It began so precious, so beautiful. And then Israel gone astray. And if you can see, if you read in the book of Jeremiah, in the book of Nehemiah, in the book of Numbers, how violation of the Shabbat day came by so many things that men, that Israel have done for themselves, rather than to rest in the Lord and what He had brought them into. Well, you see, brothers and sisters, in the passages in the Gospel specifically, that the conflict, the greatest conflict that Yeshua had is with the issue of the Shabbat with His own people. And so we already read in chapter 2, verses 23 to 28, that the Pharisees introduced the fact that you can't even go through the field, take a corn, crush it and eat of it, because that was considered to be work. Now, not only that, we can see in the passage that we are entering right now that they've gone even beyond that, that you can't even do some good or healing in this context on a Shabbat day, because according to them, it become a violation of the Shabbat. Now, the issue of the conflict with the Shabbat between Yeshua and the spiritual leaders of Israel did not begin here. It did not even begin in the Galil, as we read it right now. It actually began in Jerusalem a few weeks earlier. And I would like you for a moment to turn to John chapter 5 for a moment. And this is very important to read because it didn't begin here. In John chapter 5, and I'm reading just some verses there. I don't want to read everything. You know, there is a place that was called Beit Chasda. In English, you say Bethesda. In Bethesda, there was pools, and all the impotent people who were not doing well physically came there. And apparently, in Bethesda, they believed that there was a shaking of the water, that an angel shook the water, according to John chapter 5. It says in verse 4, and an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and he troubled the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in, he was made whole, and whatsoever disease he had, he was released from that disease. So apparently the Lord went there, Yeshua went there. And what did he see? He saw a man in verse 5, John 5, 5. There was a certain man there which had an infirmity for 38 years. Now, I don't know, some of us are here younger than 20. Some of us here are maybe 30, 40. Of course, some of us are older than 40, 50, 60 and so on. But can you imagine to have an infirmity for 38 years? This is all your life. 38 years. So here come Yeshua to the place called Beit Chasda. By the way, Beit Chasda in Hebrew, Beit house, Chasda or Chesed, the house of grace. He's coming there, and you see, Jesus saw this man, Yeshua saw this man, verse 6, and he knew that he had been now for a long time in this condition. So graciously he asked him, and he said, would you like to be made whole? Would you like to be healed? Now that man, of course, want to be healed. You and I are writing prayer requests in our books because we have a headache here or something problem there. But could you imagine to have infirmities for 38 years, nearly 40 years, the need that this man have had? So he answered to Yeshua, and he said, the impotent answered and he said, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another come inside before me, and again, I remain in the very same condition. Can you imagine every time you are hoping that you're going to be the first one to go into the pool when the troubling of the water that happened there, and you're going to be the first one to get in and get fixed and get healed, and you are trying to get in, but somebody else made it before you, and you're waiting again. This man was disappointed. He came in and left. Came in and left. By the pool, he's waiting and waiting eagerly to try to come into the water so he will be able to get healed. But he had no man, he said to Yeshua. So Yeshua said to him, in verse 8, he says, Yeshua said to him, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And immediately he rose, he took up his bed, as it said, he was made whole, he took up his bed, and notice what it says at the end of verse 9, the same day was a Shabbat day. This was a Shabbat day. So immediately, the Jews, when it says the Jews, it's always speaking about the spiritual leaders of Israel. And the Jewish leaders, the spiritual leaders of Israel, therefore said unto him that was cured, he said, it is a Shabbat day and it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. You can't lift up your bed on a Shabbat day, never mind that you were impotent for 38 years. But it is a Shabbat day. You can't carry out their bed. They didn't come to him and say, praise God, you are healed. God have healed you. And this man did not only have physical healing. As you read the text, he also had spiritual healing. He ended up accepting that Yeshua is the Messiah. But the beginning of the whole issue with a conflict between Yeshua the Messiah and the spiritual leaders of Israel would begin right here in John chapter 5. But we are in Mark chapter 3. And in Mark chapter 2 and chapter 3, it is an additional conflict. You see, Yeshua by that time knew very well that whatever he's going to do, the spiritual leaders of Israel will not going to accept him, because even the prophets of Israel said, who has believed our report? The prophet Isaiah said. God knew that the Messiah will not be accepted by the nation of Israel at his first coming. He was rejected and despised of men, a man of sorrow that had been acquainted with grief. The prophet Isaiah declared it a long time ago. And not only rejected by Israel, he will be rejected by the whole world. Why do the heathen rage, Psalm 2 says, and the people imagining vain things against the Lord and against his Mashiach, Meshicho, his anointed. The whole world up till today, beloved brothers and sisters, it's the same old issue, the rejection of the Messiah, Yeshua, by men. Israel as a nation, but the vast majority of the nations of the world just the same, have rejected the offer of God for 2,000 years. But the context, of course, is Israel. It's 2,000 years ago. It is when the Messiah was born and living here among his own people, before he died, was buried and resurrected. And the issue here, there is a local situation. And so we read, notice that back please to chapter 3 with me of the Gospel of Mark. And you will notice now in chapter 3, in verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, how again Yeshua is healing another person. This time it's not in Yerushalayim, it is in the Galil, it's not in the center of the religious leaders, but it is in the north of Israel. And notice it says that he is entering into a synagogue. You know, that was his custom. Verse 1 of Mark chapter 3, his custom was is to enter into a synagogue. That's because he was living among his own people. He was still, you might say, acting among his own people, seeking to lead them to himself. And so he entered on the Shabbat day, and there was a man which had a withered hand. Now, okay, he had a trouble in Jerusalem on a Shabbat day when he healed that man who was desperate on a Shabbat day. But now this man only had a withered hand. He could wait another day. He could do something for him tomorrow, not Shabbat. But you see, he knew very well what was going to happen there. He knew very well the hearts of all that were there. By the way, he knows your heart today and mine just the same. You and I are not different. He searches the hearts. He knows the word of God is sharper than two-edged sword. He knows every need, every situation in our lives as well today, just like he knew that 2,000 years ago. So you see, in verse One, he come there on a Shabbat day. This time you see he's entering into the synagogue. And there was also a man which had a withered hand. He came to worship the God of Israel. They're all sitting around listening to the rabbi, to the rabbi, reading from the text, from the scripture. And then the Lord, all of a sudden, notice what we read here, that they watched him. They watched him. Who are the they? The day is, again, the spiritual leaders of Israel, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, or those that at least were against him, trying to find already fault. They remember what he did earlier, a week or so earlier in Yerushalayim, but now he's coming here again in the Galil, he's coming into the synagogue. Let's see what he's going to do. Now he knows the hearts of all. And as they are watching him there, you know, whether he would heal him, as if he is going to do something bad, something wrong, they was watching him. And I'm fascinated. There are so many places in Scripture when people watch Jesus, Yeshua. Now, it's one thing to watch him and to be fascinated by his person. It's another thing to watch him in order to try to find fault in him, to cause him to stumble. It's one thing to observe him and to see what an amazing person this Yeshua the Messiah is, but it is altogether another thing to watch him in order to find some faults in him, in order that we will be able to accuse him and then ultimately destroy him. See what happened here. They watched him, whether he would heal him on a Shabbat day. In order why? In order that they might accuse him. You know, if they only watched him in order that they will learn from him, in order to find the grace of God that is found in him, the love of God that is found in this person, they watched him in order to accuse him. You know, brothers and sisters, I would like to encourage you, when you read the Word of God and you watch the person of the Lord, just see the preciousness of this person, the willingness to come down to this sin-sick world and to be willing to give his life a ransom for many. You and I were far from God. And we can watch him, and I think, if you would agree with me, the reason that we came to faith in him, because we watched him as we read the Gospels. And we find out that no one loves us like him. We found that no one was able to deliver us from the judgment that we deserve. We found out ourselves as guilty, and God said, I declare you guilty, but because you believe in my son, the Mashiach, I declare you just and justified. That's the way to watch him. But they didn't. They closed their hearts. You see, brothers and sisters, turning our hearts off is a sad thing. And so we read, they watch him, and the reason that they watch him, according to verse 2, they wanted to accuse him. They wanted to accuse him. So the Lord knows that. So what does he do in verse 3? He is requesting from the man to stand before everyone. He was going to do something publicly right now. He knows very well what these leaders are intending to do. So he's asking purposely. It seems to be very much purposely here. He asked the man which had the withered hand. He said, stand forth. Stand before all of us. This man, imagine, one hand cannot move. It says here that his hand was withered. It was dried, couldn't move. And he's standing there before everyone with his hand like that. And the Lord said unto them, not to the man. He asked them, those that watched him. He says, listen, is it lawful to do good on a Shabbat day or to do evil? To save life or to kill? What a question. Is it the right thing to do good on Shabbat or to do evil? To save life or to kill on a Shabbat day? Well, according to the spiritual leaders of Israel, the Pharisees, to heal on a Shabbat day was considered wrong. And not only to heal, if a person that was sick, like the one in chapter 5 of the Gospel of John, to carry his bed, on which bed he was for 38 years, to carry the bed, become work. Even if he for 38 years was unable to walk. And so notice, they held their peace. They didn't say a word. They didn't say one word. If you read a little bit further, beloved brothers and sisters, you will find out that in another situation, they also held their peace. They didn't say a word when he asked them. In Luke chapter 14, I'll read that verse as well. Luke chapter 14, verse 1, 2, and 3. And it came to pass, as he went into a house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on a Shabbat day, they watched him. Same thing. Here in Galilee, they watch him in a synagogue. There in the house of a Pharisee, they watch him in the house to see what will he do on a Shabbat day. And behold, there was a certain man before him which has the dropsy. And Jesus answering, and he spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, and he said, is it lawful to heal on a Shabbat day? And they held their peace. You see, because they don't have anything to say against his activity, because it is not unlawful to heal a person who has a need on a Shabbat day. So they held their peace. They didn't say a word. And so notice that that's rather sad, because in verse 5 of Mark chapter 3, when he looked around about on them with anger. You know, I think if I'm correct, this is the only passage in the Brit HaChadashah that says about the Lord that he looked upon them with anger. That anger is a righteous indignation. It's not like you and I when we are angry at something because we are sinful, or because we didn't get our own way. This is righteous indignation.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.